Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Good morning, everyone. Are you guys ready to enter into praise and worship?
Amen.
Of the Most High God, the Lord who reigns in our hearts. Let's stand. Let's worship Him. He's delivered us from a grave, right? And given us new life in Christ. Amen. Put your hands together.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you. I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my tomb till I met you. 'Cause when you call my chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter. I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future. My eyes are open. 'Cause when you call my
good to see you. Give him one more shout. He's worthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say it's going to be different today.
It's going to be different.
Well, y'all said it.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Yeah.
I need to, whatever that key is. I need words. A cappella. Are you ready? Get that key.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow turning with thee.
Sing it out.
Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed,
back to the first verse.
Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see.
All you have need of. Faithfulness.
Great is thy
great is thy faithfulness. Lift your voice.
Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
You may have a seat. Amen. Thank you, guys. Didn't they do a great job? They'll be coming back. See, y'all said it's going to be different today, so I had to fulfill your wishes. Messing with you. I want to speak with you just a little bit this morning concerning worship. I really do appreciate Pastor John and Brother William taking care of things. Even though I was here, there's taking care of things from the pulpit. They did a marvelous job. We are blessed in this house with men and women of God that can carry the word and bring it to the people and not tickle your ears. We are blessed in this house. We really are. But I was asking the Lord about, you know, because I had a lot of time off from the pulpit area, and I was asking the Lord about, you know, Lord, what do you want to tell the people? And I didn't hear anything. And so I just waited, and I've learned over the years not to get ahead of him, because usually when I do, it's real bad. Now, how many of you know what that means? Yeah. Yeah, it's real bad. So I was patient waiting on him. And I'd ask him, you know, and ask him two or three times. I said, Lord, what do you want to tell the people? And I finally got two words. Worship me. And I thought saying, I want you to worship me. So I lit into worshiping him, you know, which is fine. And, you know, and then it was no, which he wants me to worship him, but he said, I want you to tell them to worship me. So I began to meditate on that a little bit and think about it and let the Holy Spirit guide me in some scriptures and things. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about worship, and then we're going to go right back into the worship, the song part of our worship. Go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. By the way, I want you to be praying for me. I'm operating off about an hour and a half sleep, which is fine with me as long as I don't have to do it long. But my mother was in the hospital, and I got a call at midnight to come and get her. They dismissed her at midnight. So I'm like, sure. So by the time I got home, it was about 3:30 and this morning, and I was all wired up and everything. So, but anyway, I got about an hour and a half worth of sleep. But I'm not I don't have to have a lot of sleep, but I do need some. But I'm fine today. Just be praying for me. I told Brenda, I said, you know, I just hope I don't go to sleep during the message. She said, there is no chance of that happening. I don't really know what that meant, but she said, there's no chance of that happening. You know, no. Did you find Romans? Paul is talking to the church, and he says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, by the mercies of God, I'm begging you. King James says, I beseech. He's begging the people of God. You have to understand, Paul is begging. Paul is pleading with the church to be able to capture what he's saying. By the mercies of God, to present your bodies. Everybody say, my body. A living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Your spiritual service of worship is to present all of you, including your body, to present all of you to Him. There's not a life that you live that is a part. Now, you can live it, but there's not a life that you live that He doesn't want all of your life. He wants every phase of your living. He doesn't want just a little bit. He wants every phase of your living life. And He wants it to be in recognition of who He is and worship Him. He said, this is your, I think one translation says, this is just your reasonable service. This is just the small part, the beginning. I mean, worship's not small, but He said, this is the beginning of you living. Presenting who you are. By the mercies of God, presenting who you are as a sacrifice to Him. Worship means the word in itself comes from worthiness, being worthy. And I'm going to ask you a question. Is He worthy of your life? Is He worthy of your living? Is there anything else that holds a higher value than Him? Is there anything else that you hold on to more so than Him? See, it's one, but once again, it's easier to talk about and to say, but a little bit difficult to do when you're challenged at the right time. We would often say at the wrong time, but at the right time when we're challenged. Worship is something that can easily be captured and captivated and held hostage by the enemy.
Bob Jones, he's been with the Lord now for about 5 years, 6 years, somewhere in there. And probably about a month before he died, maybe 2 months, he had a vision. And his vision was this. His vision was he saw a man approaching him and got about a foot away from his face. And he said this. Well, the man's body was made out of instruments. His whole body was out of instruments, different instruments, but that's what his body was, instruments. Just all kind of musical instruments. And he comes up to Bob and he says this. This is the vision that he saw. Well, Bob asked him, said, What do you want? And the man, instruments shaped like a man's body, looked at him and said, I'm here to take a generation from worship. I'm here to take a generation away from worship. And he's going to do it with music. Bob began to share that a little bit, and his comment was this, after he had the statement, his comment was this: we've got to find an antidote for this. So we can't let our worship be captivated or captured or mishandled or going in the wrong direction. It needs to be what the Bible says worship is. We have a lot of things from the culture that is moving into the church that is actually beginning to reshape, and it's part of this man beginning to reshape what worship is. When I say it's beginning to reshape it, it's beginning to not look like what worship looks like in the Bible. Does that make sense? A church that is that doesn't know how to worship will be feeding off of entertainment. So a congregation or a person that doesn't know how to worship in a biblical way will begin to feed off entertainment. And that entertainment will be the desire, because in their knowledge, they think that's worship. And you may say, well, you know, surely we'll know. Surely we'll know if it's really not what God wants us to do. No, not surely. There's passages in the Bible. Jesus told the Pharisees, you know, he said, y'all have got this lip thing going on in your worship. Y'all are saying and singing, and y'all are doing this thing with your lips, but your heart is where? Far from me. He goes on down and he says, your worship is vain. You know the word, do you know the definition of vain? Empty. Your worship is empty. Why is that? It had all the stuff, but it didn't have the heart. It didn't have the connection of your living. It didn't match what you were living. So in the process of you doing all that they were doing in their song part or whatever it is that they were worshiping, thinking it was God, Jesus never felt their heart. Why? Because it wasn't offered. The heart wasn't offered. The lip service was. The actions were. Going through the motions were, because that's the way we've always done it. It's the way we've always done it. So God's in this thing. Nope, he said, matter of fact, he didn't even say it wasn't worship. He said it was empty. I really don't want my worship to be empty. And neither does he. He does not want our worship to be empty. But like I said, culture can come in into the church real quick and begin to say, well, this is mine and Russell's conversation over the years being, what is the word, Russell? You remember? It's an R word.
Relevant.
Well, is it relevant? I said, you can be relevant to the culture and off biblically. So it's not making sure we're relevant to the culture. What they need is revelation. What the culture need is truth. What the culture need is somebody to worship him how? With all, everything that we have. So I'm just not, I mean, we need to be relevant to a way that if they're learning through Facebook, there's so many. What is it? Chat, and there's something, photo, something. What's that? Instagram or Instagram? I thought that was a food. Instagram. You do Instagram? And I said, no, I don't really like oatmeal or anything like that. But, you know, that knowledge wasn't relevant, right? It wasn't relevant. Y'all think I'm kidding. I'm telling you, you know, I've been called, you're generational. And I said, what does generational mean? Well, I didn't want to hurt your feelings. It means old. But all of a sudden, the culture can come in real quick. And because it's popular out there, they want the church to do it. And we can get so far off base by doing that we've left our first love. We've left the place that he is wanting us to go to. Does that make sense? So, and we guard, we do, we guard this platform. The whole team guards it with Pastor Charlie, you know, about... Listen, this is not about performance. If we start performing, we'll do something else. But see, it just doesn't happen with music. They can be performance behind this pulpit. They can be performance and doing their thing about preaching, and it really not be what God's doing. It's the reason Paul said, I'm begging you. This thing about reasonable spiritual service of worship, I'm begging you, make sure that's right. And to make sure that's right, you know, we often go to verse 2 of that chapter, and that chapter says what? Or that verse says what? Don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may be able to prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That wasn't the first verse that he talked about. The first verse he talked about is your reasonable spiritual service of worship. And offering, giving your living to him as a living sacrifice. Most sacrifices die. But not this one. Amen. Not this one about worship. It's a living sacrifice. What does it mean? It means that in your living, you worship him first. You don't hang on to popularity. You don't hang on to peer pressure. You don't hang on to what everybody else is doing. You don't. Why? Because it's not worthy enough. And it'll never be worthy enough. Because worship is worthiness, worth ship. Now, you know, I'll tell you something else. You will not enter into what true worship is, and we're going to be talking about that just a little bit. We're going to, when you will not be able to enter into true worship if you do not have a right view of who God is. If you do not see Him as good, always good to you, always there for you, loving you, taking care of you, watching over you, delivering you, saving you, just on and on. If you do not see Him in that way, you will not be able to worship Him. Why? You have no worth for Him. Other things will be a lot more worthy than you giving up something for somebody who's never there. Somebody who hasn't come through for you. Somebody who hasn't been there when you ask Him for something and you didn't get your prayer answered. And then all of a sudden we get offended at God. And our worship leaves. Oh, we can go through the motions just like the guys in the Bible. We can go through the motions and Jesus says, I see what you're doing, but you have not given me your heart in this matter. You're hanging on to something else. You're holding out. See, we think God is holding out on us. And what we do is hold out on Him. Well, this is probably going to cost me living sacrifice. This is really going to cost me living sacrifice. Present your bodies a living sacrifice to Him. Worship. Church, we can actually take something that is good and make it traditionally bad. Well, what have we got to do today? Well, we need three fast songs, and we need two slow songs, and somebody's got to read a poem. Who's going to read the poem today? No, I'm not pointing to anybody. But we can come in and say, okay, let's just go through the songs and let's get this over with so we can hear the message. And then some people say, well, after the songs are over with, who cares about the message? Worship isn't over when the music stops. Matter of fact, if you didn't come in worshiping, it's probably going to be difficult for you to enter in worship. We have misrepresented Pastor Charlie so many times, it's pitiful. You know why? We've actually called him the worship leader. And I've got news for you. That ain't in the Bible. Tell me one person in this house that he can make sure they're worshiping. Tell me one. He can't. Are y'all hearing me? Who is your worship leader? You are. You will allow yourself to enter into worship or you will not. You will either offer your heart or you will not. Pastor Charlie has nothing to do with that. Neither does Pastor John or me. We just can't do that. Actually, the team, Pastor Charlie and the team, are actually song leaders. That's giving you the opportunity to worship. And you will either choose to do it Or you'll either choose to go through the motions and say, oh, I don't even like that song anyway. Well, I will. Well, I hope they can get over this one real quick because I want something else to be sung. Well, you know, we're not taking requests. You can get that at another place. At some bar, put a dollar or two, said, I want you to play Blue Moon Over Kentucky. I'm not, listen, I can sing that song. Blue Moon of Kentucky, keep on shining. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? I'm not being mean to you. I am bringing forth to you a challenge to enter into worship like you've never done before and not ever leave it. Do you hear me? And not ever leave it. Not ever leave it. This, he says, you invalidate the word of God. I'm telling you what the truth. I didn't know you could invalidate the word of God, but Jesus said you could. You invalidate the word of God for the sake of your own tradition. Your own tradition has more worth than him. So therefore, you're hanging on to your tradition and you're worshiping your tradition because that's what's more worthy to you than him. He said, you invalidate the word of God. He said, you hypocrites. This people honors me with their lips. Notice that, the word honor. We honor him with our lips. We're saying all the right things. We're saying all the good things. We're saying all the things that we think are supposed to be said. And Jesus goes on, he says, but their heart is far away from me. In vain do they worship me. It's empty. Teaching the doctrines, teaching as doctrines, as the precepts of men. What did they want? They wanted what men thought. They want what men thinks of worship because we surely don't want to offend Daddy Big Bucks back there, whoever it is that's got all the money. We surely don't want to offend him and him come up saying, Pastor, I'm not going to put up with that. And I really hate to say this, I was born for that. Something just flies up in my face when somebody that's got the money wants to tell me what they will and won't do with their money if we don't do right. So you can't be holding on to something that said, well, that's worth more than he is. Because if that money leaves, we liable to go down. Well, then it's his church. If he's the one that's keeping it afloat, it's his church, not God's. You see where I'm going? You see where I'm at? Our worship should be unbroken. See, we're afraid to worship a lot of times because we're afraid of man. We're afraid of what somebody may think of us. What am I holding on to? What do I think is more worthy than him? Their opinion. I think that's more worthy than him, so therefore I'm going to make sure I don't offend them. The woman at the well, Jesus goes there and she makes a statement. Our fathers worshiped at this mountain. But you say that it is Jerusalem that is the place to go worship. Now, which one is it? What's the emphasis? The location. What has the church swallowed up concerning worship? The location. Where is the location to a lot of the church? The building. Jesus says, he looks at her and he says, woman, believe me, there's an hour that is coming when neither this mountain nor Jerusalem shall you worship the Father. It's not going to be about your location. It's going to be all the time, everywhere. So he's talking about worship. And if he's talking to her, he's talking to us. It's not about, well, I got to make sure, you know, well, I'll do this Sunday, but I'm not going to do, no, I'm too busy. I have too much to do. Not really, I'm not fussing, I'm really not, but I am challenging you to understand this thing called worship is much greater than what we do. Much greater. And I think our worship is awesome. I really do. But we're not there yet. Amen? We're not there yet. He says, the worship will neither be in the mountain nor in Jerusalem. He said, you worship that you do not know. We worship that which we know. The salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming. His second time he said, but an hour is coming. And now it's. Hour's coming and it's already here. What is it? When the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father is seeking. A father is seeking to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Spirit-led, the Holy Spirit in you, leading you to a place to leading you to a position of worshiping. And people will want to worship, and they'll want to go through the songs, and they'll want to do all that, but they don't want the truth. And they'll push truth aside because they wanted a whole nother way. And you're right, Pat, most time it's their way. But he said, the Father is looking, is seeking. He's looking and seeking for true worshipers. People that are going to, let me read these things to you. People that are going to bow down before him. That's one meaning of worship. To bow down before him. Say it. Bow down before him. Well, I may get my pants dirty. Here's the next one. To serve him. Tell Pharaoh to let my people go so they can go into the wilderness and they can worship him and worship me and serve me only. To serve. Excuse me. Mark 4. Jesus has already met up with the enemy in the desert. The challenge is who he is, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God. See, that's the challenge that he always gives us, if you really are a Christian. You wouldn't have did what you did. That's what he said. But anyway, he goes on and he challenges Jesus, attempts Jesus, and tests Jesus on three different things. This last one, he says, hey, enemy says, I'll tell you what, you see all this kingdom? You see all of this? All of that belongs to me. Did he tell the truth? It was handed over to him by Adam. If you just bow down and what? Bow down and serve me. That's worship. If you just worship me, if you just bow down, fall down and worship me. All of this can be yours. Jesus said, be gone. You're out of here, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. What was more important to him, the Father, than all of this kingdom? Bow down, serve, fall back. To fall back is to worship. Listen to this one. As a dog licks the hand of his master. Now, I didn't like that one. But the more I thought about it, the more I said, you're right. As a dog licks the hands of, he said, that's worship. Have you ever, listen, have you ever seen dogs in people's cars? You have? Tell me. I'm not the only one, right? I saw one in an 18-wheeler. And I thought he was driving. Really, I thought he was driving. I've seen so many sleep deprivation. Commercial. You've seen these commercials, and dogs are driving, talking to each other. Y'all seen? I mean, you know, but I saw a dog in the driver's seat, but he was sitting in the driver's lap. And he's got his head out the window going, tongue out, you know. And then it hit me. There ain't a tree nowhere in the cab of that truck. Nowhere. They like trees. Y'all know what I mean. They like trees. There's not any trees anywhere. It's probably the most uncomfortable place that a dog could be. There's nothing natural about it. Dog in an 18-wheeler. Yeah, that's natural. There ain't nothing natural about that. But I'm telling you, look at the face of that dog, and that dog is as happy as it could ever be. Now you tell me why. He's sitting in the lap of his master. That's all I want. This is there ain't a tree for me to go to. There's not any grass in here. I'm in a piece of metal rolling down the road. Unnatural as it can be. But ecstatic and happy and overwhelmingly joyous. Why? He's sitting in the lap of his master. Boy, when I saw that, I remembered this. To kiss or to lick the hand of the master. It didn't really matter if he was in a place that was unnatural. Shouldn't matter to us if we're in a place that is unnatural for us. As long as we are holding hands or with the master. We can go through anything. That's the reason we can say, there ain't nothing else holds any worthiness in my life other than him. That is beyond him, I should say. That is beyond him. There's a lot of worthy things. Your children, your family is worthy. But they don't compare to the worthiness of who he is. Then the other one, it means to kiss. To actually give an affectionate kiss to. And the Bible actually says, brethren, give each other a holy kiss. Well, you know what people's going to think. Well, let's scratch that part off because we don't want them thinking nothing. Are y'all getting what I'm telling you? Mike Duncan, come over here. He's saying, wrong topic. I want to be the dog.
Good sugar.
Now, he didn't say give each other an unholy kiss. He said greet one another with a holy kiss. Woohoo, me too. I'll take that. I know that was a sneeze, but I'll take it as a yahoo. No, I got to close. To kiss. I'm half a page of four pages. There's a passage that talks about Jesus saying he reveals these things. They're upset because Jesus has healed somebody. And the kids start saying, he comes into the city and the kids start saying, y'all remember what the kids are yelling? Hosanna. He begins to, it is rude for him to bring me water and me not drink it. It'd be very rude of me. Thank you. So you begin to see this, and they are upset. And he tells them, he said, you know, it's going to be given to the infants and the babies. The infants and the babies, and they're going to be giving me the praise. It is out of their praise that they're going to be given it. That word praise is only used twice. And that thing talks about a story. That praise word talks about the story. How many stories are you telling about the goodness of God? He said, that's going to be your strength. Telling the stories. Telling the goodness of God, what he's done and how he's done it. But they might not want to listen. Well, act like they do. And then when they tell you to shut up, you just say, okay. And then just move on to somebody else to tell the story. You know, well, I don't really want people to treat me that way. Then you got in the wrong business. Jesus said, let me tell you something, disciples. He said, let me tell you something. Nations will hate you. And he included this one. Because he said all nations. He included this one that you live in. All nations. We're part of the all. All nations will hate you because of my name. So if you don't want that, you're in the wrong kingdom. But that word means to tell the story. There's another one. There's another passage. And I'll finish with this. And there's another passage he talks about. He inhabits the praises of his people. He is enthroned by the praises. He is enthroned by the praises of his people. You know the word praise in that one? Y'all got your little cards? Who's got one of those little cards? Praise cards. The word for that one is tequila. I almost said tequila. The one for that one is tequila. What does it mean?
Spontaneous song from the spirit. To lift up in spirit, to sing from the heart.
What? To sing from the heart. Spontaneously sing. Just all of a sudden you're going down the road and you start singing a song. And you're singing it to whom? You're singing it to him. Amazing grace. How sweet. What? Hold on, stop.
Amazing grace. How sweet what?
The sound.
The sound. What's the sound? Worship. That saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. What's he doing? He's worshiping spontaneously with all of his heart. The Bible says he is enthroned. That word enthroned means, I thought about having one. The word enthroned means, it means he is covered with your worship. He's having a seat. Listen, he's having a seat underneath your worship. See, the worship covering used to be Lucifer. It used to be Satan. And he wanted his own, so he got cast out. So the covering of worship was gone. You know why Satan's so mad at you? You took his place. Your worship is the covering over his throne. I wanted to use a patchwork quilt, and each one of the patchwork is sort of like your living. And then that patchwork quilt, Mary, get one of those banners real quick. That patchwork quilt begins to rise up because it's being formulated on earth. It's being made by his people. You were created to worship. The Bible says you were created to worship. If you're not worshiping, you're not doing what you were created to do. I need just any one of them to be fine. Gina, you can come down here with her. Now you bring in the little one. That's fine. Come on. Come on, quick. All of a sudden, it starts being made down here. It says, great is our faithfulness. You start, why? Because there's nobody like him. Nobody like him. And you and I start singing, and they start singing. And all of a sudden, this thing being made down here begins to float up. Spiritual begins to float up to heaven. And watch this. Watch this. He's seated on his throne, and this thing rises up. Come on, get it over me. Rises up and just gets over me. And he's looking at the patchwork, and he says, my, oh, I've seen this one. This one here's been here a long time. Oh, here's one. This is the first time I've seen this life offered to me. Oh, I love to see it. It's the first one I've seen, first time I've ever seen. This one right here has been here a long time. Why? Been fabricated there, and he's enthroned, and the praises and the worship have begun to enthrone him and to cover him. But it's only the ones that are not empty. They don't show up. That's the reason he just saw this one today. Why? It was the first time that their heart had been offered. They didn't care what people were thinking. They didn't care what people said. They gave their all in worship. And it meant more to them than just singing songs. Their heart was given to them. Their life was given to them because he was wanting to serve and worship the Lord. I want the praise team to come back up. Thank you, girls. Give them a hand for that. I want another one of those. I want another layer of the covering to be made right now. And I want him to see every patchwork that's of you, and that you offer it with all of your heart and not say, well, you know, I don't really like that song. Well, it didn't say, well, let's do this one for Jimmy today. He really likes that. No, it's all about him. It's all about him. Amen. Stand to your feet. This is your opportunity to take what you have heard and begin to live out the living of worship, of true worship. without caring who sees you, because you're doing it for Him. You're doing it for Him. You're ministering to Him. That could be done with clapping of hands. It can be done with shouting. It can be done with dancing. It can be done with lifting up the hand. It can be done so many. It can be done with bowing before Him. It can be done. Why? And why? When revelation comes that begins to help you release all that's in you, you begin to realize the Janis Joplin song. Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. You don't have anything left to lose. I prayed a prayer a long time ago, said, Lord, bring me to the place where I have nothing to lose, nothing to hide, and nobody to impress. All right. We're going to worship. They're going to lead us in singing, and we're going to enter into worship. Amen. Amen. Are you ready for that? Yes. Give God a shout saying, I'm coming, Lord. I'm coming. You can step out in the aisle. You can stay where you are. You can shout. You can dance.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.